Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the earnings conference call of Salesa Techno Engineering Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rohit Anand from EY. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. Before we proceed, let me remind you that the discussion may contain forward-looking statements that may involve known or unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors. It must be viewed in conjunction with our businesses that could cause future results, performance, or achievements to differ significantly from what is expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. To take us through the financial results and developments, and to answer your questions today, we have the senior management of Salesa Techno Engineering Limited, represented by Mr. Shashwat Agarwal, Joint Managing Director, and Mr. Pramod Kalra, Chief Financial Officer. We will start the call with a brief overview of the past quarter by Mr. Shashwat Agarwal, followed by a Q&A session. I will hand over the call to Mr. Agarwal. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anand. Good afternoon, everyone. I welcome all the participants to Salesa Techno Engineering Limited's Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. I hope you and your families are healthy and safe. We have uploaded the investor presentation on the company website and the stock exchanges, and I hope that you might have gone through the same. Salesa, started as a telecom tower manufacturing company, is now one of the leading manufacturing companies in India, providing customized steel structures to diverse range of industries, including not only telecom, but power, railways, and various other applications. We are offering 360-degree solutions to clients, including engineering, strengthening, designing, procurement, fabrication, galvanizing, along with EPC works. Infrastructure push by government and increasing economic activities post-pandemic have strengthened steel structure demands. This makes a strong business case for companies like us. Not only domestically, we are also poised to reap the benefits of growing export demand, especially in the field of telecom towers. The company has reported strong export revenues of rupees 76 crores in FY22, 117% year-on-year growth as compared to rupees 35 crores in FY21. With 5G spectrum bidding already completed, the operators are now geared up to increase their presence in that particular area. And accordingly, the inquiries have started coming in from not only tower companies, but operators as well. And this 5G expansion in India is going to be a game changer for companies like us as we hold market leader position in this particular sector. I would like to move on to our recent financial performance. To share with you, I would like to say that the Q1 has been a good quarter as far as the top line is concerned. First time ever we have been able to achieve a top line of more than 200 crores in Q1, as normally the first quarters of every financial year is slightly sluggish because of budget finalization issues and rainy seasons in most of the geographical presence of India. The consolidated revenues from operations for Q1 FY23 registered a growth of 58.6% year-on-year basis to 211 crores in EBITDA is at rupees 17 crores as compared to rupees 15 crores in Q1 FY20, a growth of about 15% year-on-year. 8% in Q1 FY23 from 11.1% in Q1 FY22, mainly due to high volatility in commodity prices and higher employee costs. PAT at rupees 7.3 crores during this quarter is in line as compared to Q1 FY22. Moving on to segmental performance for the quarter, manufacturing of steel structures contributed 75%, EPC for power transmission contributed 17%, and EPC from railways electrification contributed 8% to the overall revenue in Q1 FY23. Overall, order book is at 1182 crores as on 30th June 2022, driven by positive momentum in our prefabricated heavy steel structure division. In total order, we have unexecuted EPC orders of about 809 crores, L1 EPC orders of about 89 crores, prefabricated heavy steel structure division orders of 233 crores, and export orders of telecom towers of rupees 62 crores. In addition to this, there are routine orders in hand on a monthly basis for telecom towers to the tune of 25 crores. The unexecuted orders of rupees 233 crores at our heavy steel structure division as on 30th June 22 has increased from rupees 200 crores as it was on 31st March 2022. Both our capacity expansion plans are under progress. New galvanizing unit with a capacity of almost 100,000 metric tons at unit 3 and our heavy steel structure division plant of 15,000 ton metric capacity at Bhilai are expected to be commissioned within the last quarter of financial year 23. As the government is focusing on building a strong infrastructure, we anticipate the momentum continue with better margins as the key raw material prices are softening up and also envisage increased contribution from export business. As of now, this is all from my side. I would now request the floor to be open for question and answer session, wherein each individual could ask question and those can be answered by me. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while this question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Raj Shah from RS Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. There are some questions from my end. I would just like to know what are the sustainable margins for our company, and given the softness in the raw material price, is there a scope of margin expansion that you are looking?
Can you repeat the question? I missed the first part of this.
No worries. I'll repeat. What are the sustainable margins for our company? And given the softness in the raw material prices that we are anticipating, do you see a scope of margin expansion from here onwards?
See, typically we've been operating at 10 to 11% EBITDA margins, you know, year on year basis. Sometimes it goes up to 11%, sometimes it remains in the range of 10 plus minus percent. But the commodity prices have actually fluctuated very high, you know, the volatility has been very high during last, I would say last 12 months, you know. This is one of the reasons that our margins declined in the quarter one of this year. But I think margins are on a bad track now, and we hope that the margins in this quarter would be better and sustainable. As far as the sustainable margins are concerned, probably we should be looking at about 10% plus minus here on there. or something which is sustainable in long term.
Okay.
And yes, of course, the softening of the raw material prices would definitely help in terms of better margins because our inventory costs and finance costs goes down as the involvement in the inventory becomes less, the finance cost becomes less.
Okay. And can you state the capacity utilization for the current quarter?
Current quarter, the capacity, we have been able to produce about 14,000 tons, which is, I would say, about 60% of the capacity.
Okay. So given the opportunity that we have, we see the capacity utilization levels going up from here for the rest of the financial year?
See, typically, if we are able to achieve anything between 75 to 80%, that I would consider as a full capacity. Because the capacity calculation is based on certain ideal conditions, right? When you calculate the capacity of a plant is, let's say, 100,000 tons, and when you're making various kind of products, even if you are able to achieve anything between 75 to 80% is something which is sort of, for us, is a full capacity. So we are operating at 60%. And yes, we see it going up to 75-80% probably in this quarter and next quarter. Yes.
Okay. Can you state your debt levels of this quarter and the cash that we have in our balance sheet?
Yes.
I think I have Mr. Pramod Kala with me. So the debt level remains the same as it was on 31st March. There's no further debt on the company as far as new debt is concerned. And cash and cash equivalent is about 12 crores as on 30th June 2022.
Okay. And just my last question, what is the cost of capital or on the interest rates of the company that we have been getting charged?
About 7% plus minus.
Okay. Okay. Thanks. I'll join the queue if I have further questions.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mihir Desai from Desai Investment. Please go ahead. Mihir Desai, the line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah. Am I audible now?
Yes, you're audible.
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I have a few questions on financial parts. So, basically, sir, can you explain the major factors or reasons which, you know, aided or helped our growth performance for this quarter? So, on a year-on-year basis, basically.
See, this quarter, there were a lot of, at the end of last quarter, as on 31st March, we had a lot of unbilled revenues, which had to be billed in EPC, as well as typically what happens is normally the first quarter is sluggish from all perspectives, in the sense that you know, even the telecom players, they are exhausted after closing their 31st March balance sheet, and they take some time to gear up. But this year, I think the demand has been good from all the sectors, including telecom, power transmission, railways, wherein they've been able to, you know, supply good quantities, and as well as EPC execution helped us grow to this top line.
Sure, sir. And so my next question would be, can you please also share your view that why, if you see the gross, you see the profitability, sir, the operating profitability is, you know, the margins have declined on a YOY basis.
Yeah, see, I've already mentioned that. See, there's huge volatility in the commodity prices. And though most of the times our prices are passed through basis, the effect of that is not reflected immediately. For example, suppose we have discussed something in June the prices applicable would be probably for April, right? Based on April commodity prices. Whereas you might have bought that commodity in May or in June itself when the prices were high. So this high volatility in the prices have actually affected the profitability in this particular quarter. And also, since we are carrying huge inventories at a high cost at the end of the last quarter, that has also costed us in terms of extra finance cost as well as employees' cost, of course, went up because of MD and MN. So that is one of the that is a couple of reasons with because of which we have been not able to achieve the EBITDA margins the kind of what we have been achieving earlier. But this is something which is we'll get back to again 10-11% kind of EBITDA margins sooner than later.
Okay, sure. And so one more question on revenue guidance. So can you please give us some guidance for this fiscal end and a ballpark for also next FY24?
So FY23, we are looking at a growth of about 20-25%. Okay, in the top line, right? So we have been we did close to 720 crores. So anything between 900-950 or 1,000 crores is possible. Okay, any figure between 9-1,000 crores is possible. And we would like to grow again next year by 15-20% year-on-year growth kind of a rate.
Okay. So, lastly, on the order book, sir, so what is the timeline to utilize the current order book which we have?
So, depending upon the orders, it is from 3 months to 24 months.
Okay.
So certain orders is going to be completed in 3 months, and some 6 months, some,
Okay. Sure. If I have further questions, I will join the queue, sir.
Thank you, Mahesh.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Aditya Mehta from AB Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Hello, sir. So I had a couple of questions. My first question would be on the expectations. So what are the expectations from the export business and which are the key areas in which we are receiving the current export orders in terms of, let's say, major countries as well as their respective contribution?
So export orders are primarily for telecom towers at the moment. Last year, we did 75 crores of orders in FY22. And in this particular quarter, we have already crossed 35 crore mark. And in the current quarter also, which is running now, we are expecting to repeat the same. So I'm expecting the orders for export being crossed at a level of about 110 to 120 crores, somewhere at about 120 crores. Primarily, the orders are for telecom towers, as I said, and these are for African countries, mainly, and Philippines. So in Africa, we are doing Kenya, Rwanda, Ghana, Nigeria, Niger, Burkina Faso, Chad, Gabon, and countries like these. And these are primarily to American Tower Corporation, ATC, which is the world leader in telecom tower industry. It's a tower co. They have maximum number of towers in the world. They have very good presence in America, and after that, they have very good presence in India and now in Africa and in many countries. Apart from that, we are supplying a lot of towers to Airtel, our own Airtel from India. They have operations in many countries in Africa. They buy towers from us in India, we supply to them in for exports also. And Philippines is a new market which has opened up recently, about a couple of years back. And there are certain new tower companies which are putting up towers there. Being a new opened up market, there's good demand coming in from there. And I expect this demand to continue for next couple of years. As 5G is been announced and, you know, the spectrum has been auctioned in India, Africa is a few years behind India. So what is being done today in Africa has been done in India a couple of years back. And what is going to be done today in India will be done in Africa in the next couple of years. So the demand would, you know, would keep coming. That's my, you know, guess, and that's my take on that actually.
Okay, okay, sir. Understood. Thank you so much for explaining so well. So my next question would be, if you could, you know, please throw some light on the CapEx we are currently doing. Let's say at a UP and New Chhattisgarh facilities, and how much work we have already completed in those facilities, as well as what will be the, let's say, feasible date of commissioning these new plants.
Okay. So there's one expansion which is being done at Unit 3 in our existing unit, wherein we have bought land next to adjacent to our existing plant, wherein we are putting a new galvanizing plant of about 100,000 tons capacity. This is probably one of the largest plant in the world. And the construction, the land had been acquired a couple of months, few months back, and the construction is going on. The sheds are being fabricated and the foundations are being laid and the designs have already been completed. The orders for plant and machinery have already been placed. We are expecting some machinery being shipped from overseas during the end of this month and some next month. This would start arriving somewhere in the month of October and November. We start expecting you know, execution of these machinery being in place by December and January sometime. So comfortably, I can say that within the last quarter of next year, we should be up and running for the galvanizing plant. For Chhattisgarh plant, the land has already been acquired, and there is, you know, development work on the land is going on, and the construction would start somewhere during the month of September, October. And we again expect the plant to be commissioned within the last quarter of this financial year. As far as the capex is concerned, we plan to do a capex of about 47 to 50 crores in our UP plant for galvanization and about 60 crores in Chhattisgarh. Hello.
Okay, sir. Okay. Yeah. I heard it. Yeah. Okay. My next question would be on the order book numbers. So, it would be really helpful if you could put down the order book numbers. You know, we can expect from the railway electrification in near term, and in which way we have already done with the bidding.
So, in EPC, we have 808 crores of overall order book, which is unexecuted at the moment, and about 89 crores, wherein we are expecting our agreement to be signed, wherein we are already L1. Out of this, about 985 crores or something, or let's say close to 1,000 crores, I think railways is about 380 crores is railways, and balance is from transmission power lines and substations. And for heavy sector division plant, we have orders worth 232 crores, and export orders are in hand about 60 crores plus minus.
All right. Thank you so much for quantifying them. So my last question would be, if you could, you know, explain the outlook or let's say the expectations from the solar segment.
From
the solar segment.
The solar segment, I'm personally not very bullish. In the sense that the margins in the solar sector for our end customer has been squeezed to the last drop probably. And if your customer is not making money, it is impossible for you to make money in that. There's a lot of smaller players which have come in and who started manufacturing very light kind of structures, and whereas kind of pre-galvanized kind of structures, whereas they just have to buy pre-galvanized steel and, you know, convert them into different sections. And the margins in that have actually been squeezed. As far as galvanized structures are concerned, the demand in India is not very much, but yes, for exports, we have recently received orders for about 2 crores for solar structures which are galvanized. Plus, we have also received some orders for solar structures from our telecom buyers like ATC, which are to the tune of about 4 to 5 crores, which are at a better margin. And which are realized, which is something which we do. Typically in India, the structures have become very light, and the galvanization is not happening as they are pre-galvanized structures, and they become out of our, I would say, work. So we have not been very keen on the solar division as such. We've been doing whatever has been coming. Subject to that, it suits us in terms of quantity and the price.
Okay, okay, sir. Understood. Okay, sir. Thank you so much for patiently answering my question. I'll join back the queue if I have any other questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Aditya.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question at this time. The next question is from the line of Aryan Sharma from Infinity Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So my questions are mostly related to the 5G business. So how is the 5G order book looking like? And what are your future expectations for the same?
See, you have recently seen that, you know, the biggies have really spent a lot of money on buying the spectrum, with Jio spending almost 88,000 crores and Airtel spending almost 40,000 crores and Vodafone spending close to 15 to 20,000 crores. So all this money is going to be utilized in putting up 5G spectrum, 5G network, right?
Yeah.
Now to put up a 5G network, what you need is an antenna all across the country. If you read today's statement of Mr. Gopal Vittal of Airtel, who's the CEO, he says that by 2024 March, they'll have a 5G network, you know, across all the country, not only limited to urban areas or tier 1, tier 2 cities. And the investment, what he's investing is a huge investment on that. So that whatever they're spending on buying the spectrum can be utilized and actually be converted into a real business for the operators. There are two things about 5G spectrum. As far as we at Salasar are concerned, the one is good, one is bad. The good thing is that the number of towers are going to be huge, which are required, going to be huge. Today, India has close to 600,000 towers plus minus, and to be able to cover the whole country, you know, on 5G network, probably they need at least 1 million more towers, that's 10 lakh more towers in next 4 to 5 years. These 6 lakh towers have actually been put up on ground in last 25 years, and then they started telecom in 1995. And imagine putting up another 10 lakh towers in next 5 years. So that's the kind of numbers that we are looking at. But yes, the bad thing is that the towers have become very light because the antennas or the equipment which is required for 5G is much light in weight. And there'll be a lot of sites, the existing sites where then they'll be putting up their 5G equipment. And to densify the 5G penetration, they'll be putting up very lightweight sites. There will be a lot of sites on the rooftops, there will be a lot of sites on the middle of the road, there will be a lot of sites on the wall mounted structures, there will be a lot of sites on lighting poles, there will be a lot of lightweight sites. So the number of towers are going to be exponential than what it was earlier. But the weight has again, you know, in terms of our business, probably you should be getting, you know, similar kind of weights as you are getting. Not much, because suppose there was a tower of 40 meters which was being typically used earlier for 2G or 3G or 4G, it became slowly to 8 turns and then, you know, 5 to 6 turns. And the tower which now there and the staging has, the weight of the tower has gone down to almost 2 turns of 25 meters and 30 meters. So there will be low height site, lighter weight site, which would result in less quantity for us in terms of connect. But yes, the numbers are multiple times. So probably we would end up making the same kind of connect what we were making earlier. That's my take on 5G.
Okay. And where are we on this? I mean, have we done any new bidding or so far, I mean, in this
regard? So we are already market leaders in telecom and we are supplying to all the operators as well as all the tower companies. So there is no bidding aspect which happens between us. It is just that the designs change and we make as per the customer's requirement because we are their trusted partners and, you know. So whatever is required by them, we redesign, we manufacture, and that is the kind of story.
Okay, yeah. And also, can we expect any margin improvement with increase in this revenue?
No, to be honest, the telecom industry is under pressure margin.
Okay.
So, I don't expect margins to go up, especially in telecom sector. There is a pressure from all around. They have a pressure to roll out huge number of sites. But at the same time, there is a huge pressure on us to come up with the most optimized costings. So I don't see any improvement in margins as far as telecom sector is concerned.
Okay.
Yeah.
And last question would be, do we need any additional capex for this 5G connectivity?
No, we don't need to.
No,
we don't need to because we have the capacity which is fungible. It can manufacture a telecom tower or a pole or a angle bar tower or a power transmission line tower or a structure for railways. So we have the fungible capacity can be utilized for whatever is required. It is just a matter of changing the design.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is a follow-up from the line of Mihir Desai from Desai Investment. Please go ahead. Mihir Desai, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Sir,
yes.
I want to ask regarding the smart city. So, sir, can you give some outlook on smart city and are you looking at any positive activities happening over there?
See, smart cities, there's been a lot of noise about smart cities. Okay.
Hmm.
But as far as it has only been a noise. There's been some work also. But that is in different sectors. Like there's been a lot of cabling which was over had gone underground. That's also part of the smart city, right?
Yeah.
So that is the work which some companies have done. As far as telecom is concerned, as I said, the telecom industry is under pressure margin and the margin of under pressure for margins. So the way they are spending on and you know essentially what is happening is that in the smart cities, the revenue case for the telecom operators is not very lucrative. So most of the smart city, I would say the organizations or smart city, whatever the government has made special purpose vehicles, they don't want to do capex. They want operators to come in, do a capex, and then they want to share the revenues with them. And today, operators are in a position, I mean, they don't want to do such kind of capex where the revenue case is not there. So operators are doing capex only where they can get immediate revenues. And somehow the smart cities, as far as I have been able to gather, don't make a very strong case for the operators to be revenue positive. That is one of the reasons that we, as Palasar, have not been able to get much business in smart cities. I mean, what Palasar, nobody has been able to. See, the work has actually not happened in the telecom sector in smart cities. Not possible.
Okay. But sir, if I see our past financial, so in FY22 we have achieved somewhere around 700 to 720 crores of revenue, which is, I think, right. In past 5 years it is the highest revenue which we have achieved.
Right.
So going forward, how do you see this, sir? Should the 700 crore mark will continue, or? If you can throw some light on this.
I just answered this in my previous question. So we are expecting to grow at about 25% this year. And year after that, we should continue to keep grow at 15 to 20%.
Okay. So, which would be the major projects, or we can say the key projects which you expect, you know, would contribute more?
So our new division of heavy sector division, which is making bridges, has got some very good order book, and it is showing good traction. Plus, of course, telecom would continue to give us good revenues, as well as we have some very good orders for power transmission line monopoles, which would give us slightly better margins as well as good revenues.
So lastly, on the capacity utilization, if you can give us some number on new plants, what we expect in FY23 and 24, the utilization.
So FY23, we should be, utilizing 70 to 75% of our capacity, which should be a good capacity utilization. And going forward, when the new plants operate, of course, couple of years, maybe 1 year or 6 months, the capacity utilization for the new plant would be less, but then slowly it will actually increase.
Sure. That's it from my end, sir. Thank you for answering the questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question at this time. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Since there are no questions, I think we can close this. And I would like to thank each one of you for being present on this call today. And I appreciate your interest in Salasa Techno Engineering and look forward to interact with you again during our next quarter. Meanwhile, please feel free to reach out to our IR team at ENY or for any clarifications or feedback. Thank you, each one of you, once again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Thank you. On behalf of Salasa Techno Engineering Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.